This is Audible.
Balzer and Bray and Harper Audio present On the Come Up by Angie Thomas, performed by Bonnie Turpin. For the kids with the SoundCloud accounts and the big dreams, I see you. And for my mom, who saw it in me first. Part 1. Old School. 1. I might have to kill somebody tonight. It could be somebody I know. It could be a stranger. It could be somebody who's never battled before. It could be somebody who's a pro at it. It doesn't matter how many punchlines they spit or how nice their flow is. I'll have to kill them. First, I gotta get the call. To get the call, I gotta get the hell out of Mrs. Murray's class. Some multiple choice questions take up most of my laptop, but the clock, though. The clock is everything. According to it, there are 10 minutes until 4:30, and according to Aunt Pooh, who knows somebody, DJ Hype calls between 4:30 and 5:30. I swear, if I miss him, I won't do shit, 'cause Mrs. Murray has my phone, and Mrs. Murray's not one to play with. I only see the top of her sister locks. The rest of her is hidden behind her Nikki Giovanni book. Occasionally she goes, at some line, the same way my grandma does during a sermon. Poetry's Mrs. Murray's religion. Everyone else cleared out of Midtown School of the Arts almost an hour ago, except for us juniors whose parents or guardians signed us up for ACT prep. It's not guaranteed to get you a 36, but Jay said I better get close since she paid these folks a light bill for this class. Every Tuesday and Thursday afternoon, I drag myself into this classroom and hand my phone over to Mrs. Murray. Usually I'm cool with an entire hour of not knowing what the president tweeted, or getting texts from Sonny and Malik, sometimes about shit the president tweeted. But today, I want to go up to that desk, snatch my phone from the pile, and run out of here. "Psst, Brianna," someone whispers. Malik's behind me, and behind him, Sonny mouths, "Anything yet?" I tilt my head with a, "How am I supposed to know? I don't have my phone," eyebrow raise. Yeah, that's a lot to expect him to get, but me, Sonny, and Malik have been tight since womb days. Our moms are best friends, and the three of them were pregnant with us at the same time. They call us the Unholy Trinity, because they claim we kicked in their bellies whenever they were together. So, nonverbal communication? Not new. Sonny shrugs with an "I don't know, I'm just checking," mixed in with, "Damn, you ain't gotta catch an attitude." I narrow my eyes at his little light-skinned hobbit-looking behind. He's got the curly hair and the big ears. "I don't have an attitude. You asked a dumb question." I turn around. Mrs. Murray eyes us over the top of her book with a little nonverbal communication of her own. "I know y'all not talking in my class." Technically, we're not talking. But what I look like telling her that, verbally or nonverbally? 4:27. 3 minutes, and that phone will be in my hand. 4:28. 2 minutes. 4:29. 1. Mrs. Murray closes her book. "Time's up. Submit your practice test as is." Shit. The test. For me, as is means not a single question is answered. Thankfully, it's multiple choice. Since there are 4 choices per question, there's a 25% chance that I'll randomly choose the right one. I click answers while everyone else collects their phones. Everyone except Malik. He towers over me as he slips his jean jacket over his hoodie. In the past 2 years, he went from being shorter than me to so tall he has to bend to hug me. His high top fade makes him even taller.
Damn, Bree, Malik says. Did you do any of the...
Shh. I submit my answers and sling my backpack over my shoulder. I did the test.
Long as you're prepared to take an L, Breezy.
An L on a practice test isn't really an L. I throw my snapback on, pulling the front down enough so it can cover my edges. They're a little jacked at the moment, and will stay jacked until Jay braids my hair. Sonny beat me getting to Mrs. Murray's desk. He goes for my phone like the true ride or die he is, but Mrs. Murray grabs it first.
That's okay, Jackson.
She uses his real name, which happens to be my last name. His mama named him in honor of my grandparents, her godparents. I need to talk to Brianna for a second. Sonny and Malik both look at me. What the hell did you do? My eyes are probably as wide as theirs. Do I look like I know? Mrs. Murray nods toward the door.
You and Malik can go. It'll only take a moment.
Sonny turns to me.
You're fucked.
Possibly. Don't get me wrong. Mrs. Murray is sweet, but she does not play. One time, I half-assed my way through an essay about Langston Hughes's use of dreams. Mrs. Murray went in on me so bad, I wished Jay would have gone in on me instead. That's saying something. Sonny and Malik leave. Mrs. Murray sits on the edge of the desk and sets my phone beside her. The screen is dim. No call yet.
What's going on, Brianna?
She asks. I look from her to the phone and back. What you mean?
You were extremely distracted today, she says. You didn't even do your practice test.
Yes, I did.
Kinda. A little. Sorta. Not really. Nah.
Girl, you didn't submit any answers until a minute ago. Honestly, you haven't been focused for a while now. Trust me, when you get your report card next week, you'll see proof. B's don't turn to C's and D's for nothing.
Shit. D's?
I gave you what you earned. So what's going on? It's not like you've been missing class lately.
Lately. It's been exactly a month since my last suspension, and I haven't been sent to the principal's office in 2 weeks. That's a new record.
Is everything okay at home? Mrs. Murray asks.
You sound like Miss Collins. That's the young blonde counselor who's nice but tries too hard. Every single time I get sent to her, she asks me questions that sound like they came from some how-to-talk-to-statistical-black-children-who-come-to-your-office-often handbook. How is your home life? None of your business. Have you witnessed any traumatic events lately, such as shootings? Just because I live in the ghetto doesn't mean I dodge bullets every day. Are you struggling to come to terms with your father's murder? It was 12 years ago. I barely remember him or it. Are you struggling to come to terms with your mother's addiction? She's been clean for 8 years. She's only addicted to soap operas these days. What's good with you, homegirl? Nah, mean? Okay, she hasn't said that, but give her time. Mrs. Murray smirks. I'm just trying to figure out what's up with you. So what's got you so distracted today that you wasted my time and your mama's hard-earned money? I sigh. She's not giving me that phone until I talk. So fine, I'll talk. I'm waiting on DJ Hype to tell me I can battle in the ring tonight.
The ring?
Yeah, Jimmy's boxing ring. He has freestyle battles every Thursday. I submitted my name for a chance to battle tonight.
Oh, I know what the ring is. I'm just surprised you're going in it.
The way she says you're makes my stomach drop. As if it makes more sense that anyone else in the world would go in the ring, except for me. Why are you surprised? She puts her hands up. I don't mean anything by it. I know you've got skills. I've read your poetry. I just didn't know you wanted to be a rapper. A lot of people don't know. And that's the problem. I've been rapping since I was 10, but I've never really put myself out there with it. I mean, yeah, Sonny and Malik know. My family knows. But let's be real. Your mom saying you're a good rapper is like your mom saying you're cute when you look a hot mess. Compliments like that are part of the parental responsibility she took on when she evicted me from her womb. Maybe I'm good. I don't know. I've been waiting for the right moment. Tonight may be the perfect time, and the ring is the perfect place. It's one of the most sacred spots in Garden Heights, second only to Christ Temple. You can't call yourself a rapper until you've battled in the ring. That's why I gotta kill it. I win tonight, I'll get a spot in the ring's lineup. And if I get a spot in the lineup, I can do more battles. And if I do more battles, I'll make a name for myself. Who knows what could happen then? Mrs. Murray's expression softens. Following your dad's footsteps, huh? It's weird. Whenever other people mention him, it's like they're confirming that he's not some imaginary person I only remember bits and pieces of. And when they call him my dad and not Lawless, the underground rap legend, it's like they're reminding me that I'm his and he's mine. I guess I've been preparing for the ring for a minute now. I mean, it's hard to prepare for a battle, but a win could jumpstart my career, you know? Let me get this straight, she says, sitting up. Imaginary alarms go off in my head. Warning, your teacher is about to gather you, boo. You've been so focused on rapping that your grades have dropped drastically this semester. Forget that junior year grades are vital for college admissions. Forget that you once told me you want to get into Markham or Howard. Mrs. Murray, no. You think about this for a second. College is your goal, right? I guess. You guess? I shrug. College isn't for everyone, you know? Maybe not, but a high school education? Critical. It's a D now, but that D will turn to an F if you keep this up. I had a similar conversation with your brother once. I try not to roll my eyes. It's nothing against Trey or Mrs. Murray, but when you have an older brother who did great before you, if you don't at least match his greatness, people have something to say. I've never been able to match Trey here at Midtown. They still have the programs and newspaper clippings on display from when he starred in A Raisin in the Sun. I'm surprised they haven't renamed Midtown the Trey Jackson School of the Arts because we love his ass that much. Anyway, he once went from A's to C's, Mrs. Murray says, but he turned it around. Now look at him. Graduated from Markham with honors. He also moved back home this summer. He couldn't find a decent job. And as of 3 weeks ago, he makes pizzas for minimum wage. It doesn't give me much to look forward to. I'm not knocking him at all. It's dope that he graduated. Nobody in our mom's family has a college degree, and Grandma, our dad's mom, loves to tell everyone that her grandson was magnum cum laude. That is so not how you say it, but good luck telling Grandma that. Mrs. Murray won't hear that, though. I'm gonna improve my grades, I swear, I tell her. I just gotta do this battle first and see what happens. She nods. I understand. I'm sure your mom will, too. She tosses me my phone. Fuck. I head to the hallway. Sonny and Malik lean against the lockers. Sonny types away on his phone. Malik fiddles with his camera. He's always in filmmaker mode. A few feet away, the school's security guards, Long and Tate, keep an eye on them. Those two are always on some mess. Nobody wants to say it. But if you're black or brown, you're more likely to end up on their radar, even though Long himself is black. Malik glances up from his phone. You okay, Bree?
Go on now, Long calls. Don't be lollygagging around here.
God damn, can't we talk for a second? I ask.
You heard him, says Tate, thumbing toward the doors. He's got stringy blonde hair. Get out of here.
I open my mouth, but Sonny goes, let's just go, Bree.
Fine.
I follow Sonny and Malik toward the doors and glance at my phone. It's 4:45, and Hype still hasn't called. A city bus ride and a walk home later, nothing. I get to my house at exactly 5:09. Jay's Jeep Cherokee is in our driveway. Gospel music blares in the house. It's one of those upbeat songs that leads to a praise break at church and grandma running around the sanctuary shouting. It's embarrassing as hell. Anyway, Jay only plays those kind of songs on Saturdays when it's cleaning day to make me and Trey get up and help. It's hard to cuss at somebody sings about Jesus, so I get up and clean without a word. Wonder why she's playing that music now. A chill hits me soon as I step in the house. It's not as cold as outside. I can take my coat off. But my hoodie's gonna stay on. Our gas got cut off last week, and with no gas, we don't have heat. Jay put an electric heater in the hallway, but it only takes a bit of the chill out of the air. We have to heat water in pots on the electric stove if we want to take hot baths, and we sleep with extra covers on our beds. Some bills caught up with my mom and Trey, and she had to ask the gas company for an extension. Then another one. And another one. They got tired of waiting for their money and just cut it off. It happens. I'm home! I call from the living room. I'm about to toss my backpack and my coat onto the couch, but Jay snaps from wherever she is. Hang that coat up and put that backpack in your room. God damn, how does she do that? I do what she said and follow the music to the kitchen. Jay takes two plates out of a cabinet, one for me, one for her. Trey won't be home for a while. Jay's still in her church Jay look that's required as the church secretary. The ponytail, the knee-length skirt, and the long-sleeved blouse that covers her tattoos and the scars from her habit. It's Thursday, so she's got classes tonight as she goes after that social work degree. She wants to make sure other people get the help she didn't back when she was on drugs. For the past few months, she's been in school part-time, taking classes several nights a week. She usually only has time to either eat or change, not both. Guess she chose to eat tonight. Hey, little bit, she says, all sweet, like she didn't just snap on me. Typical. How was your day? It's 5:13. I sit at the table. He hasn't called yet. Jay sets one plate in front of me and one beside me. Who? DJ Hype. I submitted my name for a spot in the ring, remember? Oh, that. That, like it's no big deal. Jay knows I'd like to rap, but I don't think she realizes that I want to rap. She acts like it's the latest video game I'm into. Give him time, she says. How was ACT prep? Y'all did practice tests today, right? Yep. That's all she cares about these days, that damn test. Well, she says, like she's waiting for more. How'd you do? All right, I guess. Was it hard? Easy? Were there any parts you struggled through? Here we go with the interrogation. It's just a practice test. That will give us a good idea of how you'll do on the real test, Jay says. Bree, this is serious. I know. She's told me a million times. Jay puts pieces of chicken on the plates. Popeyes. It's the 15th. She just got paid, so we're eating good. Jay swears, though, that Popeyes isn't as good here as it is in New Orleans. That's where she and Aunt Pooh were born. I can still hear New Orleans in Jay's voice sometimes. Like when she says, baby, it's as if molasses seeped into the word and breaks it down into more syllables than it needs. If we want you to get into a good school, you gotta take this more seriously, she says. If we want, more like if she wants. It's not that I don't want to go to college. I honestly don't know. The main thing I want is to make rapping happen. I do that, it'll be better than any good job a college degree could give me. I pick up my phone. It's 5:20. No call. Jay sucks her teeth.
Uh-huh.
What? I see where your head is. Probably couldn't focus on that test for thinking about that ring mess. Yes. No. Mm-hmm. What time was Hype supposed to call, Bree? Aunt Pooh said between 4:30 and 5:30. Pooh? You can't take anything she says as law. She's the same one who claimed that somebody in the garden captured an alien and hid it in their basement. True. Even if he does call between 4:30 and 5:30, you've still got time, she says. I know, I'm just impatient, like your daddy. Let Jay tell it, I'm stubborn like my daddy, smart-mouthed like my daddy, and hot-headed like my daddy. As if she's not all those things, and then some. She says Trey and I look like him, too. Same smile, without the gold grill. Same dimpled cheeks, same light complexions that make folks call us red bones and light brights, same dark, wide eyes. I don't have Jay's high cheekbones or her lighter eyes, and I only get her complexion when I stay out in the summer sun all day. Sometimes I catch her staring at me, like she's looking for herself, or like she sees Dad and can't look away. Kinda how she stares at me now. What's wrong? I ask. She smiles, but it's weak. Nothing. Be patient, Bree. If he does call, go to the gym, do your little battle. Little battle. And come straight home. Don't be hanging out with Pooh's rough behind. Aunt Pooh's been taking me to the ring for weeks to get a feel for things. I watched plenty of YouTube videos before that. But there's something about being there. Jay was cool with me going. Dad battled there. And Mr. Jimmy doesn't tolerate any nonsense. But she wasn't crazy about me going with Aunt Pooh. She definitely wasn't crazy about Aunt Pooh calling herself my manager. According to her, that fool ain't no manager. How you gonna shade your sister like that? I ask her. She scoops Cajun rice onto the plates. I know what she's into. You know what she's into. Yeah, but she won't let anything happen. Pause. Jay puts fried okra on the plates, then corn on the cob. She finishes them off with soft, fluffy biscuits. Say what you want about Popeye's biscuits, but they're neither soft nor fluffy. This is Popkin Church. Popkin Church is when you buy fried chicken and Cajun rice from Popeye's, biscuits from KFC, and fried okra and corn on the cob from churches. Trey calls it pre-cardiac arrest. But see, Popkin Church is problematic, and not because of digestive drama that may ensue. Jay only gets it when something bad happens. When she broke the news that her Aunt Norma had terminal cancer a couple of years ago, she bought Popkin Church. When she realized she couldn't get me a new laptop last Christmas, Popkin Church. When Grandma decided not to move out of state to help her sister recover from her stroke, Jay bought Popkin Church. I've never seen anybody take their aggression out on a chicken thigh quite like she did that day. This isn't good. What's wrong? Bree, it's nothing for you to worry. My phone buzzes on the table and we both jump. The screen lights up with a number I don't recognize. It's 5:30. Jay smiles. There's your call. My hands shake down to my fingertips, but I tap the screen and put the phone to my ear. I force out the, hello?
Is this Bree?
An all too familiar voice asks. My throat is dry all of a sudden. Yeah,
This is she, her, me. Screw grammar.
What's up? It's DJ Hype. You ready, baby girl?
This is the absolute worst time to forget how to speak. I clear my throat. Ready for what?
Are you ready to kill it? Congratulations. You got a spot in the ring tonight.
2. I texted Aunt Pooh 3 words. I got in. She shows up in 15 minutes, tops. I hear her before I see her. Flashlight by Parliament blasts out front. She's beside her cutlass, getting it in. Millie rockin', disciple walkin', all of that. Like she's a one-woman soul train line. I go outside and throw my hoodie over my snapback. It's colder than a polar bear's butt crack out here. My hands are freezing as I lock the front door. Jay left for class a few minutes ago. Something's happened. I know it. Plus, she didn't say it was nothing. She said it's nothing for me to worry about. Difference.
There she go! Aunt Pooh points at me. The ring legend in the making.
The ponytail holders on her braids clink as she dances. They're green, like her sneakers. According to Garden Heights Gang Culture 101, a garden disciple's always gotta wear green. Yeah, she's about that life. Her arms and neck are covered in tattoos that only GDs can decipher. Except for those red lips tatted on her neck. Those are her girlfriends, Lena's.
What I tell you?
She flashes her white gold grill in a grin and slaps my palm with each word.
Told you you'd get in?
I barely smile. Yeah.
You got in the ring, Bree? The ring! You know how many folks around here wish they had a shot like this? What's up with you?
A whole lot. Something's happened, but Jay won't tell me what.
What makes you think that?
She bought Popkin Church.
Damn, for real?
She says. And you'd think that would set off alarms for her, too, but she goes,
why you ain't bring me a plate?
I narrow my eyes. Greedy ass. She only gets Popkin Church when something's wrong, Aunt Pooh.
Nah, man. You reading too much into this. This battle got you all jittery.
I bite my lip. Maybe.
Definitely. Let's get you to the ring so you can show these fools how it's done.
She holds her palm to me.
Sky's the limit.
That's our motto. Taken from a Biggie song older than me and almost as old as Aunt Pooh. I slap her palm. Sky's the limit.
We'll see them chumps on top.
She semi-quotes the song and pecks my forehead.
Even if you are wearing that nerdy-ass hoodie.
It's got Darth Vader on the front. Jay found it at the swap meet a few weeks ago.
What? Vader's that dude. I don't care. It's nerd shit.
I roll my eyes. When you have an aunt who was only 10 when you were born, sometimes she acts like an aunt, and sometimes she acts like an annoying older sister. Especially since Jay helped raise her. Their mom was killed when Aunt Pooh was 1, and their dad died when she was 9. Jay's always treated Pooh like her third kid.
Nerd shit?
I say to her. More like dope shit. You need to expand your horizons.
And you need to stop shopping off the Sci-Fi Channel.
Star Wars technically isn't sci- Never mind. The top's down on the cutlass, so I climb over the door to get in. Aunt Pooh pulls her sagging pants up before she hops in. What's the point of letting them sag if you're just gonna pull them up all the time? Yet she wants to criticize my fashion choices. She reclines her seat back and turns the heat all the way up. Yeah, she could put the top up, but that combination of cold night air and warmth from the heater is A1.
Let me get one of my shits.
She reaches into the glove compartment. Aunt Pooh gave up weed and turned to blow pops instead. Guess she'd rather get diabetes than get high all the time. My phone buzzes in my hoodie pocket. I texted Sonny and Malik the same 3 words I texted Aunt Pooh, and they're geeking out.
I should be geeking out too, or at least getting in the zone. But I can't shake the feeling that the world has turned upside down. At any second, it may turn me upside down with it. Jimmy's parking lot is almost filled up, but not everybody is trying to get in the building. The let-out has already started. That's the party outside that happens every Thursday night after the final battle in the ring. For almost a year now, folks have been using Jimmy's as a party spot, kind of like they do Magnolia Ave on Friday nights. See, last year, a kid was murdered by a cop just a few streets away from my grandparents' house. He was unarmed, but the grand jury decided not to charge the officer. There were riots and protests for weeks. Half the businesses in the garden were either intentionally burned down by rioters or were casualties of the war. Club Envy, the usual Thursday night spot, was a casualty. The parking lot club's not really my thing. Partying in the freezing cold? I think not. But it's cool to see people showing off their new rims or their hydraulics, cars bouncing up and down like they don't know a thing about gravity. The cops constantly drive by, but that's the new normal in the garden. It's supposed to be on some, "Hi, I'm your friendly neighborhood cop who won't shoot you," type shit. But it comes off as some, "We're keeping an eye on your black asses," type shit. I follow Aunt Pooh to the entrance. Music drifts from in the gym, and the bouncers pat people down and wave metal detector wands around. If somebody's got a piece, security puts it in a bucket nearby and returns it once the ring lets out. "The champ is here," Aunt Pooh calls as we approach the line. "Might as well crown her now." It's enough to get me and Aunt Pooh palm slaps and nods. "What's up, little law?" a couple of people say. Even though we're technically cutting the line, it's all good. I'm royalty, thanks to my dad. I get a couple of smirks, too, though. Guess it's funny that a 16-year-old girl in a Darth Vader hoodie thinks she's got a shot in the ring. The bouncers slap palms with Aunt Pooh.
"What's up, Bree?" the stocky one, Reggie, says. "You finally getting on tonight?"
"Yup. She gonna kill it, too," Aunt Pooh says.
"Aight,"
the taller one, Frank, says, waving the wand around us.
"Carrying the torch for law, huh?"
Not really. More like making my own torch and carrying it. I say yeah, though, because that's what I'm supposed to say. It's part of being royalty. Reggie motions us through.
"May the force beam you up, Scotty."
He points at my hoodie, then does the Vulcan salute. How the hell do you confuse Star Trek and Star Wars? How? Unfortunately, to some people in the garden, it's nerd shit. Or as some fool at the swap meet said, white shit. Folks need to get their space opera life right. We go inside. As usual, it's mostly guys in here. But I see a few girls, too, which is reflective of the small ratio of women to men in hip-hop, which is total misogynistic fuckery. But anyway, there are kids who look like they came straight from Garden Heights High. Folks who look like they were alive when Biggie and Tupac were around. And old heads who look like they've been coming to the ring since the Kangol hats and shell-toe Adidas days. Weed and cigarette smoke linger in the air, and everybody crowds around the boxing ring in the center. Aunt Pooh finds us a spot beside the ring. "Kick in the Door" by Notorious B.I.G. plays above all of the chatter. The bass pounds the floor like an earthquake, and B.I.G.'s voice seems to fill up the entire gym. A few seconds of Biggie makes me forget everything else. That flow, though.
"That shit is fire,"
Aunt Pooh says. "Fire? That shit is legendary. Biggie single-handedly proves that delivery is key. Everything isn't an exact rhyme, but it works. He made Jesus and penis rhyme. Come on. Jesus and penis? Okay, it's probably offensive if you're Jesus, but still, legendary.
Aight, aight, Aunt Pooh laughs. "I hear you."
I nod along, soaking up every line. Aunt Pooh watches me with a smile, making that scar on her cheek from that time she got stabbed look like a dimple. Hip-hop's addictive, and Aunt Poo first got me hooked. When I was 8, she played Nas's Illmatic for me and said, "This dude will change your life with a few lines." He did. Nothing's been the same since Nas told me the world was mine. Old as that album was back then, it was like waking up after being asleep my whole life. It was damn near spiritual. I fiend for that feeling. It's the reason I rap. There's a commotion near the doors. This guy with short dreadlocks makes his way through the crowd, and people give him dap along the way. D-Nice, a.k.a. one of the best-known rappers from the ring. All of his battles went viral. He recently retired from battle rapping. Funny he'd retire from anything, young as he is. He graduated from Midtown last year.
"Yo, did you hear?" Aunt Pooh asks. "Old boy just got a record deal."
"For real?"
"Yep, 7 figures up front."
"God damn. No wonder he retired. $1 million deal? Not just that, but someone from the garden got $1 million deal? The music fades out and the lights dim. A spotlight shines directly on Hype and the cheers start.
"Let's get ready to battle,"
Hype says, like this really is a boxing match.
"For our first battle, in this corner we got M-Dot."
This short, tatted guy climbs into the ring to a mix of cheers and boos.
"And in this corner, we got Ms. Teak,"
Hype says. I scream loud as this dark-skinned girl with hoop earrings and a short curly cut climbs into the ring. Ms. Teak is around Trey's age, but she spits like an old soul, as if she's lived a couple of lifetimes and didn't like either one of them shits. She's goals to the highest degree. Hype introduces the judges. There's Mr. Jimmy himself, D-Nice, and CZ, an undefeated ring champion. Hype flips a coin, and Ms. Teak wins it. She lets M-Dot go first. The beat starts up. A Tale of Two Cities by J. Cole. The gym goes nuts, but me? I watch the ring. M-Dot paces, and Ms. Teak keeps her eyes on him like a predator watching prey. Even when M-Dot goes at her, she doesn't flinch, doesn't react, just stares at him like she knows she's going to destroy him. It's a thing of beauty. He has some good lines. His flow is okay. But when it's Ms. Teak's turn, she hits him with punchlines that give me goosebumps. Every line gets a reaction out of the crowd. She wins the first two battles hands down, and it's over.
"Aight, y'all," Hype says. "It's time for Rookie Royale. Two rookies will battle it out for the first time in the ring."
Aunt Pooh bounces on her heels. "Yeah!" All of a sudden, my knees feel weak.
"Two names have been drawn," Hype says. "So without further ado, our first MC is..."
He plays a drum roll. People stomp their feet along with it, rattling the floor, so I'm not completely sure if my legs shake as much as I think.
"Miles," Hype says.
Cheers go up on the other side of the gym. The crowd parts and this brown-skinned boy with zigzags cut into his hair makes his way toward the ring. He looks around my age. A big cross pendant hangs from a chain on his neck. I know him, but I don't, if that makes sense. I've seen him somewhere. A slim guy in a black and white tracksuit follows him. Dark shades hide his eyes, although the sun's down. He says something to the boy, and two gold fangs glisten in his mouth. I nudge Aunt Pooh. "That's Supreme."
"Who?"
she says around her blow pop. "Supreme," I say, like she's supposed to know. She should. "My dad's old manager."
"Oh, yeah. I remember him."
I don't remember him. I was a toddler when he was around, but I've memorized my dad's story like a song. He recorded his first mixtape at 16. People still used CDs back then, so he made copies and passed them out around the neighborhood. Supreme got one and was so blown away that he begged Dad to let him manage his career. Dad agreed. From there, my dad became an underground legend, and Supreme became a legendary manager. Dad fired Supreme right before he died. Jay claims they had creative differences. The boy with Supreme climbs into the ring. Soon as Hype hands him a mic, he says,
"It's your boy Miles with a Z, the swaggerific prince."
The cheers are loud.
"Oh, he the one with that stupid-ass song,"
Aunt Pooh says. "That's how I know him. It's called Swaggerific, and I swear to God it's the dumbest song ever. I can't go around the neighborhood without hearing his voice go, 'Swaggerific, so call me terrific. Swaggerific, swag-erific, swag, swag, swag.' There's a dance that goes with it called the Wipe Me Down. Little kids love it. The video's got like 1 million views online."
"Shout out to my pops, Supreme,"
Miles says, pointing at him. Supreme nods as people cheer.
"Well, shit," Aunt Pooh says, "you going up against your pop's manager's son."
"Damn, I guess so. Not just that, but I gotta go up against a somebody. Stupid as that song is, everybody knows Miles, and they're already cheering for him. I'm a nobody in comparison. But I'm a nobody who can rap. Swaggerific has lines like, 'Life ain't fair, but why should I care? Why should I care? I got dollars in the air. I got dollars, I got dollars, I got dollars.' Yeah. This won't be hard, but it also means that losing isn't an option. I'd never live that down." Hype plays a drum roll again.
"Our next MC is,"
he says, and a couple of people shout out their own names, as if that'll make him call them.
"Bree!"
Aunt Pooh raises my arm high and leads me to the ring.
"The champ is here,"
she shouts, like I'm Muhammad Ali. I'm definitely not Ali. I'm scared as hell. I climb into the ring anyway. The spotlight beams in my face. Hundreds of faces stare at me, and phones point in my direction. Hype hands me a mic.
"Introduce yourself," he says.
I'm supposed to hype myself up, but all I get out is, "I'm Bree." Some of the crowd snicker. Hype chuckles.
"Okay, Bree. Ain't you Law's daughter?"
What's that got to do with it? "Yeah."
"Oh, damn. If baby girl is anything like her pops, we about to hear some heat."
The crowd roars. Can't lie, I'm a tad bit annoyed that he mentioned my dad. I get why, but damn. Whether I'm good or not shouldn't have a thing to do with him. He didn't teach me to rap, I taught myself. So why does he get the credit?
"Time to flip the coin," Hype says. "Bree, you get to call it."
"Tails," I mutter. Hype tosses the coin and slaps it onto the back of his hand.
"Tails it is. Who's first?"
I nod toward Miles. I can hardly speak. No way I can go first.
"Aight, y'all ready out there?"
For the crowd, it's basically a hell yes. For me, a hell no. But I don't have a choice. 3. The beat starts. "Niggas in Paris" by Jay-Z and Kanye. My heart pounds harder than the bass in the song. Miles comes up to me, way too close. It gives me a chance to size him up. He talks a lot of shit, but damn, there's fear in his eyes. He starts rapping.
"I ball so hard, you wish you was like me. I'm fresh down to my Nikes. Spend 100K in a day, the boy don't play. Going broke ain't likely. I ball hard, this hood life crazy. But I'm a G, it don't faze me. Ferrari gas, Glock in back, ready to pop if paparazzi chase me."
Okay, I'll give props. Those lines are better than anything in Swaggerific. But this boy can't be serious. He's not an uppercase G, a lowercase G, or any kind of G. So why is he claiming that life? He doesn't even live in the hood. Everybody knows Supreme lives in the suburbs now. Yet his son is about that life? Nah. I gotta call him out. Maybe something like, your career, I end it. Your G status as authentic as them gems in your pendant. Ha! That's a good one. He's still rapping about being such a gangster. I smirk, waiting for my turn until... I bore hard, so why bother? This ain't a battle, more like a slaughter. I murdered this chick in cold blood, like someone did her whack-ass father. The fuck? I advance on Miles. What the hell you say? Hype cuts off the music and I hear, whoa, 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 as a couple of people rush into the ring. Aunt Pooh pulls me back. You little asshole! I shout. Say it again! Aunt Pooh drags me to the corner. The hell is wrong with you? You heard that shit? Yeah, but you handle him with your bars, not your fists. You trying to get disqualified before you start? I breathe extra hard. That line got you like he wanted it to. She's right. Damn, she's right. The crowd boos. You don't make digs about my dad to them either.
Hey, y'all know the rules. No holds barred, Hype says. Even law is fair game in the ring.
More boos.
Aight, aight!
Hype tries to calm everyone down.
Miles, that was a low blow, fam. Come on now.
My bad, Miles says into the mic, but he smirks. I'm shaking. That's how much I want to hit him. Just makes it worse that my throat is all tight. And now I'm almost as pissed at myself as I am at Miles.
Bree, you ready?
Hype asks. Aunt Pooh pushes me back to the center of the ring.
Yeah,
I bite out.
Aight then, Hype says. Let's get it!
The beat starts again, but all the lines in my head suddenly don't exist.
Ah!
Murdered this chick in cold blood. I can still hear the gunshots that took him from us.
He,
like someone did her whack-ass father. I can still hear Jay wailing.
I,
murder, whack-ass father. I can still see him in the coffin, all cold and stiff.
Choked,
someone shouts. Shit. It becomes contagious and turns into a chant. Miles's smirk becomes a grin. His dad chuckles. Hype stops the beat.
Damn, he says. Round one automatically goes to Miles.
I stumble over to my corner. I blanked. I fucking blanked. Aunt Pooh climbs up on the ropes.
What the hell? You let him get to you?
Auntie,
you know how much you got on the line right now. She says, this is it, your chance to blow up, and you gonna hand this battle over to him?
No, but... She pushes me back into the ring.
Shake that shit off!
Miles gets palm slaps and fist bumps over in his corner. His dad laughs proudly. I wish I had that. Not an asshole for a dad, but my dad. At this point, I'd settle for good memories, not just from the night he was murdered. It happened in front of our old house. He and Jay were going out for date night. Aunt Pooh lived with us back then and agreed to babysit me and Trey while they were gone. Dad kissed us goodbye as we started a game of Mario Kart, and he and Jay walked out the front door. The car cranked up outside, just as my Princess Peach gained on Trey's Bowser and Aunt Pooh's Toad. Five shots went off. I was only four. But the sound hasn't left my ears. Then Jay screaming, wailing really, in a way that didn't sound human. Word is a crown pulled the trigger. The crowns are the largest King Lord set here on the east side. They may as well be their own gang, big as they are. Dad wasn't a gangbanger, but he was so close to so many garden disciples that he got caught up in their drama. The crowns took him out. From everything I've heard, He wouldn't have let anybody make him blank like this. I can't either.
Round two,
Hype announces.
Miles, since you won round one, you decide who goes first.
He cheeses. I got this.
Let's take it old school then, says Hype.
He scratches the records and the beat starts. Deep Cover by Snoop and Dre. He wasn't kidding about the old school. That was the first song Snoop ever did. The old heads in the gym go crazy. Some of the young ones seem confused. Miles doesn't look at me when he raps, like I'm no longer relevant.
Yo, they call me the Prince. I ain't new to this game. Been plotting for years, and I can't be tamed. You can call me a G. Your son wish he was me. And every girl with a pulse falls inevitably. I get money. Like it's going out of style. All my whips brand new. I got Jordan on the dial.
Rule numero uno of battling, know your opponent's weakness. Nothing he spit this round is directed at me. That may not seem like a red flag, but right now, it's a huge one. I blanked. A real MC would go for the kill because of that. Hell, I'd go for it. He's not even mentioning it. That means there's a 98% chance this is pre-written. Pre-written is a no-no in the ring. A bigger no-no? Pre-written by someone else. I don't know if he wrote those lines. Maybe he did, but I can make everyone think he didn't. Dirty as hell? Absolutely. But since my dad isn't off-limits, not a damn thing is off-limits. Rule number two of battling, use the circumstances to your advantage. Supreme doesn't look too worried, but trust, he should be. That goes in my arsenal. Rule number three, if there's a beat, make sure your flow fits it like a glove. Flow is the rhythm of the rhymes, and every word, every syllable affects it. Even the way a word is pronounced can change the flow. While most people know Snoop and Dre for Deep Cover, one time I found a remake of it by this rapper named Big Pun on YouTube. His flow on this song was one of the best I've ever heard in my life. Maybe I can mimic it. Maybe I can wipe that dumb smirk off Miles's face. Maybe I can actually win. Miles stops and the beat fades off. He gets a couple of cheers, but not many. The ring loves punchlines, not weak lines about yourself.
Okay, I hear you, Hype says. Bree, your go.
My ideas are spread out like puzzle pieces. Now I gotta put them all together into something that makes sense. The beat starts again. I nod along. There's nothing but me, the music, and Miles. The words have strung themselves together into rhymes and into a flow, and I let it all come tumbling out.
Ready for war, Miles? Now you fucked up this time. Should have dressed this cipher to the writer, the biter who really wrote them rhymes. Come at Brianna, you wanna get buried? Spit like a legend, feminine weapon, I reckon your own father's worried. Bow down, baby. Get down on your knees. You got paper, but I'm greater. Asher Click. And while you at it, ask Supreme. Straight from the garden where people dearly depart and screw a pardon. I'm hardened, and Miles's heart is on back of milk cartons. It's M.I.A., and this is judgment.
I stop. The crowd is going bananas. B-A-N-A-N-A-S.
What? Hype shouts. What?
Even the rough and tough-looking dudes bounce up and down with their fists at their mouths going, oh!
What?
Hype shouts again, and he plays a siren. The siren, the one he uses when an MC spits something dope. I, Brianna Marie Jackson, got the siren. Holy shit.
She came with the pun flow, Hype says. Somebody get a water hose. We can't handle the heat. We can't handle it.
This is magical. I thought the reactions I'd get when I freestyled for Aunt Pooh's friends were something. This is a new level, like when Luke went from being just Luke to Jedi-ass Luke.
Miles, I'm sorry, but she murdered you in a couple of bars, Hype says. Call the DA. This is a homicide scene. Judges, what y'all think?
All of them lift signs with my name on it. The crowd goes wilder.
Bree wins it,
Hype says. Miles nervously rubs the peach fuzz on his chin. I grin. Got him.
Let's get to the final round,
Hype says.
We're at a tie, and whoever wins this one wins it all. Bree, who goes first?
Him, I say. Let him get his garbage out the way. A bunch of oohs echo around us.
Yeah, I said it.
Miles, you better come correct,
Hype says.
Let's get it!
The beat starts. Shook Ones by Mobb Deep. It's slower than Deep Cover, but it's perfect for freestyling. In every YouTube battle I watched, shit got real whenever that beat dropped. Miles glares at me as he raps. Something about how much money he has, how many girls like him, his clothes, his jewelry, the gangster life he's living. Repetitive, stale, pre-written. I gotta go for the kill. Here I am, going at him as if I don't have any manners. Manners. A lot of words rhyme with that if I deliver them right. Cameras, rappers, pamper, hammer. MC Hammer, Vanilla Ice. Hip-hop heads consider them pop stars, not real rappers. I can compare him to them. I gotta get my signature line in there. You can only spell brilliant by first spelling Bree. Aunt Pooh once pointed that out right before teasing me about being such a perfectionist. Perfection, I can use that. Perfection, protection, election. Election, presidents. Presidents are leaders. Leader, either, ether. Like that song where Nas went in on Jay-Z. I need to get something in there about his name, too. Miles. Miles per hour. Speed. Light speed. Then I need to end with something about myself. Miles lowers the mic. There are a couple of cheers. Supreme claps, yet his face is hard.
Okay, I see you, Miles,
Hype says.
Bree, you better bring the heat.
The instrumental starts up again. Aunt Pooh said I only get one chance to let everybody and their mama know who I am. So I take it. My apologies, see. I forgot my manners. I get on the mic cause it's my life. You show off for girls and cameras. You a pop star, not a rapper. A Vanilla Ice or a hammer. Y'all hear this crappy dumping out? Somebody get him a pamper. And a crown for me. The best have heard about me. You can only spell brilliant by first spelling Bree. You see, naturally, I do my shit with perfection. Better call a bodyguard cause you gonna need some protection. And on this here election, the people crown a new leader. You didn't see this coming and your ghostwriters didn't either. I came here to ether. I'm sorry to do this to you. This is no longer a battle. It's your funeral, boo. I'm murdering you. On my corner, they call me coroner. I'm warning ya. Tell the truth, this dude is boring ya. You confused like a foreigner, I'll explain with ease. You're just a casualty in the reality of the madness of Bree. No fallacies, I spit maladies causing fatalities and do it casually, damaging rappers without bandaging. Imagining managing my own label, my own salary. And actually, factually, there's no MC that's as bad as me. Miles, that's cute, but it don't make me cower. I move at light speed, you stuck at per hour. You spit like a lisp, I spit like a high power. Breeze the future and you today like Matt Lauer. You coward, but you a G? It ain't convincing to me. You talk about your clothes, about your shopping sprees. You talk about your Glock, about your ICE. But in this here ring, they all talking about me. Bree! The crowd goes nuts. I told y'all! Aunt Pooh shouts as she stands on the ropes. I told y'all! Miles can't look at me or his dad, who seems to glare at him. He could be glaring at me, too. Hard to tell behind those shades.
All right, y'all.
Hype tries to calm everyone down as he comes from behind the turntables.
It's down to this vote. Whoever takes this one is the winner. Judges, who y'all got?
Mr. Jimmy raises his sign. It says Bree. D. Nice raises his sign. Bree. CZ raises his sign. Lil Law. Holy shit.
We have a winner!
Hype says to thunderous cheers.
He raises my arm into the air.
Ladies and gentlemen, the winner of tonight's Rookie Royale, Bree!
4.